All right. Well, good morning. How's it going? Good. It's so good to see you this morning. I tell you, it's good to see the sunshine. Amen. Don't be the sunshine complainer guy. Right? I was in Starbucks this morning before it was even sunny, and this guy, I was like, how's it going? He's like, good, except for it's gonna be too sunny and too hot, and I hate it. I'm thinking, man, you need more coffee. And maybe here's a card, come to church with me type of thing. But I didn't do that. But man, it's good to have the sunshine. It feels like summer. But it's good to be with you all. I'm excited to preach. And so I'm just going to get right to the word this morning. If you are new this morning and you have not joined us, we've been for the last several weeks in a series talking about a fit soul, getting healthy from the inside. You know, in the world we live in, there is such a push to get healthy from the outside, which is important. And I think we're all challenged daily to make sure that we can play with our kids and not run out of breath and jump on a trampoline for more than a couple minutes without being so sore the next day that you can't walk. Not that I know someone that does that. I know someone, not me, of course. But that's a different story. But really getting healthy from the inside out. And so we've gone through a progression of talking about what it means to declutter our life, to walk in peace, you know, a lot of other aspects about being healthy in the soul level. And today's probably the most important. I probably say that every week. This is the most important thing. They're all important, people, right? That's the truth of the matter. But I think there's no other topic besides salvation that I think can have more lasting effects in your life and more lasting effects with the relationships that you have around you than the topic that we're going to talk about today. And that's talking about the power of forgiveness. Forgiven to forgive is my official title. So when I was in high school, I don't know why I did this, probably because I wanted to drive and my parents were like, we love you, but we're not paying for you to drive all over South King County and do what you want to do. So if you want to drive, then you need to like, you know, get a job. And, you know, I was so excited to get a job as a before my senior year. And now I'm thinking, why was I so excited to just start working? Because that's just kind of what you do, you know, afterwards. And so anyways, I got a job. My first job was at Starbucks. It was pretty cool. At the time, it was like before drive-thrus were like normal. And the drive-thru Starbucks in Four Corners that we have was one of the first 5 drive-thru stores in the nation. And so now they're all over the place. Well, that was like a test store. And so I was like one of the first employees that they hired. And so I got to learn how to do the drive-thru. And that was a lot of fun. And one of my favorite memories of Starbucks early on in the day, and then it, you know, just kind of all just turned into work. But it was one of those days, and we didn't really have a name for it. I'll just call it the pay it forward day. So it was through the drive-thru, and you would be serving people, and the person would go, hey, I want to pay for the guy behind me's drink, right? And you're like, well, man, that stresses me out because then I got to bring the till up. But you're like, okay. So you pay for it, and then the next guy, it's really cool because they're just like up there, and you're like, hey, I've got some good news for you. The guy in front of you paid for your drink. And they're like, did I know him? And you're like, I don't know. I'm just the Starbucks guy. You might have known him, but I think he just was nice. And they're like, well, that's really cool. And then they're like, you know what? I'd like to do it for the guy behind me. And you're like, well, that's really cool. And it gets a little complicated. And then it goes on. And then you've got the person who ordered like the $1.50 drip coffee. And they're like, well, I'll pay for the guys behind me. And that person ordered like food and stuff. And they're like, sure, you know, throw on that espresso maker, whatever, you know, whatever you want to do. And it goes on and on and on. And about, I remember one time it was like 20-something cars of just going on. It was just so cool because people, and then you've got the guy, you're like, all right, hey, the good news, the guy in front of you paid for your drink. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Have a good day. And they just ended the fun. They're like, thank you. I'm out of here. So 2 rules. Number 1, don't be that guy or girl. Just don't. It's funny because now on the other end of it, I'll get into it in Starbucks because we might go there here and there just to get some occasional coffee. And it's like every time that happens, it's like, I don't care how much it is. I want to be
the guy that continues to keep the blessing train going, if that's what we're going to call it, a blessing train. But I thought about it, about don't be that guy. Because I remember when the person was like, oh yeah, thanks. And they didn't pay for the drink behind him. I'm thinking, you selfish. Thinking about only your needs. You're not thinking about the person behind you. And I'm thinking, huh. You know, there was some big judgment in my heart for that person. Not really. I'm just being a little funny this morning. But I remember thinking, why wouldn't you just give? And thinking about that, and then thinking about our topic today, forgiven to forgive. And talking about coffee, that's a lot of fun in church. But talking about forgiveness maybe could be a sensitive topic. And I realized that. This morning, that there's a lot of things that have gone on. And we can't just talk about forgiveness so free and so lighthearted like we're talking about coffee, because unfortunately in the life that we live, there's been some hard things that have happened to your life, right? And there's been some hard things that have happened to people that I know and happened in my life. And so I don't come into talking about forgiveness, lots of jokes and lots of just making it lighthearted, because I realize that it's our lives and that there's real hurt and real pain. But the thing about forgiveness is not meant to stay with you. Okay, it's not meant to stay with you. And what I mean by that is forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift that is meant to be given away in your life and through your life. It's like the Starbucks game that we talked about. The point of the game is not to be the guy that ends the blessing train. That the point isn't to get it to end. The point is to pass it on. And to understand forgiveness, we need to understand it in a way is forgiveness is a gift. When my wife and I bought our house about 5 years ago, it was the lady who we bought it from, her husband built the house, and she was pretty old, so I think the house was pretty old, and she had lived in the house for, I don't know, like 40 or 50 years, and I'll never forget when we went to one of the last times, she gave us a gift, and that's pretty cool. Like, when I sell a house, I don't know that I'm going to give the next person a gift, but she gave us this gift, and it was a bell, and I meant to bring the bell, but my brain doesn't function before coffee, and I usually leave before I get coffee. And so anyways, she gave us this bell, and she goes, this bell is a bell that was given to me by someone we bought our house from, and it's over 100 years old, and I used to use this bell every night to get my kids to come in for dinner. That's pretty cool. Like, it's awesome. It's good looking. It's fun. It sounds good. It works, all those things. But the purpose of that gift is not so my wife and I can just have that gift forever, right? We're going to use it, but it would be a disservice to the nature of that gift to be like, sweet, we got a gift. The purpose of that gift is to give it away to someone that can use it for the next 100 years when we're done with it. And so I think in talking about forgiveness, forgiveness is a door, right? This morning we sang about God's great love for us. How many of you know that God loved you so much in the midst of your sin, and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for your sins? Okay, we know that in the Christian faith. But his forgiveness is not just so you can have a get out of hell free card, if they even make such a thing. The point of his forgiveness is so that you can pass it on to others and walk in forgiveness in those who have wronged you and those who have hurt you. And so it's a door. It's not a one-way door. It's a two-way door. Here's a few things with forgiveness, and I wish it weren't true, but it is. You don't get a pick who you forgive. Right? That's not how it's designed. You know, the Starbucks thing, if you don't like the guy behind you, you can't be like, you know, I don't want to pay for that guy's drink, but I'll pay for the guy behind his. That'd be cool. No, that's not how the game works, right? So forgiveness is, unfortunately, in the life we live, things are going to happen, right? You, my wife, she has to live with me. She has to put up with me. Unfortunately, I've probably wronged her over our years. I've miscommunicated. I've done something that has caused her feelings to get hurt, and I've wronged her. And unfortunately, I've had to go to her on a regular occasion and be like, baby, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to hurt you. You know, I didn't mean what I said. I was just, whatever. I was scared. I was whatever. But in life, not just with your spouse, but in life, unfortunately, we're going to rub shoulders, right? And we're going to have some good experiences, and we're going to have some not good experiences. And some of them are going to be little, but then unfortunately, there's going to be hurt. And there's going to be things just in the life that we live. And we don't get to pick who we forgive, right? We don't get to be like, you know, I'm going to hold it back. Again, you could choose that, but it's not going to leave you experiencing what true forgiveness is supposed to make you feel in your heart. So number one, we don't get to pick who we forgive. And here's the deal. We truly only understand God's forgiveness when we're able to give that forgiveness to others. Okay, we can understand it to a degree when our sins are forgiven. Oh, thanks, Jesus, for saving me. Thanks, Jesus, for forgiving me. But I truly can understand what God's forgiveness is only when I am able to take that forgiveness and give the person that's wronged me the same forgiveness that God has given me. That is it. I can only experience it to a degree when I receive it. But when I give it away, then I truly understand the heart of God. So we need to understand this. I said it earlier, but unfortunately, for the very fact that we live in a fallen world, for the very fact that we live in a world where sin is present, we're not in heaven yet. I don't know if you know that or not. There is still sin. Someday we will live in a place where there is no sin. But right now, there is sin. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, people will still act selfish. Okay, newsflash. Inside the church and outside of the church, there is still sin. But I believe there's a new way. Because if you look at our world, the way that people deal with hurt, with pain, with suffering, with being wronged is very interesting. If you drive on 405 even once in your life, you will start to experience feelings and emotions that you never knew that you had. Because the normal way to deal with frustration in our humanity is to say something, to do something, and there's probably another something as well. Right? But even this week, we were driving, and my son, I didn't even know it, but something came out of my mouth, and it wasn't like a bad four-letter word. It was just not out of my character. And my son goes, "Did you just say that to that person?" I'm like, "Well, I guess I did, but I didn't even know I did." But because we live in a fallen world, we have to deal with issues like this, and there is a better way. Because the human way is to do it in our flesh. But I believe that God has given his church a different way to walk with one another as we do life. Because no one is immune from the issues of a wounded soul. No one is immune from the issues of bitterness, of unforgiveness, and of hurt, and of woundedness. Okay? I don't need to convince you of that this morning. But I do know that the way that the world deals with these issues and the way that God has his people to deal with these issues are two different ways. So you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. And I want to read this. And one thing we need to realize with this scripture is he was talking to the Ephesian church. Meaning he's talking to you. And he's talking to me. He is not writing this to the people that do not have a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to assume in the room that most of you, hopefully all of you, have a relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you that today you can have a relationship with Jesus that will change everything. Okay, it doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect, but it means that you can have a hope inside of you that you've never known before. And so if you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you that today can be your day. But for a lot of us in this room that have a relationship with Jesus, I believe that this is what he would say to us today. And so I want to read it, and it says this, starting with verse 17. He says, "Testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." So Gentiles is, we're going to say those who don't know Jesus, the unsaved, those who don't have a relationship with him. So don't walk as they do, because they are darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. And I think we can see this with people that do not have a relationship with Jesus. There is an issue of a hard heart going on inside of them, right? They don't have a relationship with Jesus, and so their heart is hard. It's in verse 19, it says, they've become callous. Do you know someone like that? You don't need to say yes. Don't be like, it's her, it's him. They become callous. They've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Can we say that together? But that is not the way you learned Christ. So he's saying, hey, a lot of people do it this way, but that is not who Jesus is. That is not what you're supposed to do. Okay, that is not the way you learn Christ. Verse 21, assuming that you heard about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus. Here we go, verse 22. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Listen, put off your old way of dealing with unforgiveness. Put off your old way of dealing with rude people. Put off your old way of dealing with knuckleheads. Okay, put off the way that you want to deal with it, because I'm giving you a new way. Okay, because that old way in verse 22 belongs to your former manner of life and it's corrupt through deceitful desires. Verse 23, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on a new self. Come on, Jesus wants us to put on a new self today. Amen. There's a new way for us to deal with relationships. Put on a new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, for having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Okay, verse 26, we talked about this last week. Be angry, but yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity for the devil. Okay, we're going to skip down and we're going to go to verse 30. And it says this, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for this day of redemption. Let all bitterness, let all wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And then in verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Listen, out of everything we could talk about in church, I believe next to our salvation, it's the issue of forgiveness. Because you cannot put bitterness, you cannot put unforgiveness in a compartment and hope it just stays in its compartment. Because if you have bitterness in your life, and if I have bitterness in my life, and if I have unforgiveness in my life, it will affect the way I think. It will affect the future of my life, and it will affect my emotions, how I feel, okay? It will affect those things. Not only will it affect your soul, that's your mind, your will, and emotions, but unforgiveness will eventually affect your spirit. And we talked about early on in this series that our spirit is what was made for us to connect with God. So if we have issues of unforgiveness and bitterness in our soul, then our relationship with God will be marred, will be damaged, will be hindered. But not, okay, so my spirit's messed up and my soul's messed up. But unforgiveness will affect your body. Okay, we're made up of three parts, your body, our soul, and our spirit. Researchers and people that are way smarter than me and probably smarter than you, they have literally linked certain forms of sickness, disease, heart issues, arthritis issues, to areas of unforgiveness. And I'm not saying this morning every sickness is because of unforgiveness. I'm not saying every sickness is demonic. Okay, I'm saying they have linked physical illness to issues of the heart and issues of the soul. And so this is a big deal. You want to have a quality life? Well, then we've got to make sure that we're living right from the heart level. Because it will affect all areas of your life. You know, I think unforgiveness, it's interesting because I think it's a way that humans try to cope with the pain that they feel. Right? We feel pain, we get hurt, we get disappointed, and what do? We be like, I'm going to hold this against you. I'm going to have some bitterness. I'm going to have some unforgiveness. I said it earlier, but We all have been disappointed. We all have been let down. Unfortunately, in this room, I realize that there's been people that have suffered abuse. I believe this morning, unfortunately, that there's people who, because someone else has had a life-controlling issue, that you've been wounded by that issue. I realize this morning that there's people that would say, I have father wounds. I have mother wounds. Unfortunately, in this room, I'm sure people have said, well, I've been hurt by a church before. I've been hurt by a pastor before. And so I'm not going to trust another pastor. I realize all that this morning. Listen, unhealed hurt produces unforgiveness, which the Bible says it leads to bitterness, okay, a bitter soul. And out of bitterness comes anger, malice, slander, rage. But the root issue is that you've got a bitter heart. There's bitterness inside of you, and you can't act any other way. Okay, so to understand unforgiveness just a little bit further, and it's a great picture for us, but unforgiveness could be likened to a word that we don't really talk about in church, and it's I'll call it the D word, debt. You're like, don't bring up my debt. I know, we're talking about it. But in Matthew 18, it talks about this parable of debt, and it talks about two guys that owed some money, and the one guy was forgiven, it says, a lot of money by his master. And he should have been in prison, and he didn't. The master forgave him and said, hey, it's forgiven. And then that same man that was forgiven the debt, he went to someone that the Bible says owed him just a little bit of money. And it says that he held that guy to his commitment. He didn't forgive him his debt, and he pretty much wanted to get him thrown in prison. And so we talk about forgiveness and debt. And we see that picture, and at the end of the day, the king heard about what this servant had done who was forgiven the money. And he pretty much then said, no, you can't do that. You have to walk in forgiveness. And he was then accountable to what he owed. Because I believe this, that people's wrongs toward us is debt. It's debt. Okay, when someone wrongs you, I wrong you in relationship, I've done something to offend you, and now I owe you something. You are now like my creditor, okay? I owe you something, okay? So we think about this spiritual Rolodex, right? We all have this memory bank of life. Some is longer, some is shorter. But you go through that life. Think about it, even right now as I'm talking. You go through this Rolodex, memories, past relationships, past hurt, good relationships, bad relationships. We all have this Rolodex. And unfortunately, it's filled with people that have wronged you, people that have wronged me, where you were disappointed, where you were let down. And so the question this morning is, who owes you? Right? Who owes you? Who has wronged you? And things aren't going to be right with them until it's dealt with. Because how many of you know debt, like physical debt, it doesn't just go away, right? You have to deal with it. If my wife and I want to get out of debt, it doesn't just happen because we're nice people, right? I wish it was, because we're really nice, right? But the bank's like, that's great. Pay your house payment, buddy. Right? It doesn't work that way. And the same thing is in relational debt. It doesn't just go away. Just because. So who owes you this morning? Who's wronged you? And now you're holding them against it. Who needs to admit that they were wrong? Who owes you another chance? Who owes you another marriage? Who owes you a rewind to try it over? I know it's serious this morning. Here's some misconceptions about unforgiveness. Number one, time doesn't heal everything. Can it help? Yeah. But there are some things that no amount of time can heal. There are some things that will only be healed when true forgiveness happens. So time doesn't heal everything. They don't just go away. Some things, yeah, time helps, sure. Second thing, a misconception I want to just bring up, and this was something that I've struggled with growing up in the church and even just in my own relationship with Jesus, but admitting that you were hurt is not sin. Okay, if you were hurt, it's okay to say that hurt me. Because I think sometimes we think, well, if I admit that I was hurt, then that means I'm walking in unforgiveness. No, not necessarily. Right? To admit that you were hurt just acknowledges that there needs to be some healing. Okay, but here's the problem. When you become a Christian, part of a benefit of being Christian is not being exempt from being hurt. Okay, when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean you're not going to be hurt anymore. All it means is how you deal with that hurt when it comes. Okay, that's the difference, not being hurt or not being hurt, but when you're hurt, how do I deal with it? Because we know how the world deals with it. We know how our flesh wants to deal with it, but how does God want us to deal with it? The third thing, misconception. Forgiveness does not mean that your enemy won. Even if it feels like it. Going along with that, forgiveness does not mean that that person was right. They were probably wrong. Forgiveness is not meaning that the sin didn't happen. It's not absolving the sin. Okay, to absolve means to do away with it, to be free from the guilt, to be free from the responsibility. Listen, it doesn't mean that there's not consequence. It doesn't mean that there's not responsibility because of that. That's not what forgiveness means. So I think if we're going to go down this journey, and especially with our service, go down this journey quickly, we need to understand what bitterness is when it comes. Because I think the quicker that we can recognize what bitterness is, then the quicker we can recognize what forgiveness is and get on the road to restoration. You know, the scripture I read in Ephesians 4, it says to put away with. Do you remember that? Put away with all bitterness along with all anger, malice, slander, rage, those types of things. So to put away with, if you look it up, it means this. To put away with, it talks about something immediate, like do it now is pretty much what the translation. So when the Bible says to put away with, it's saying, hey, you can't delay on this. Like, have you ever like been in a state of urgency where you're like, hey, if you wait on this, you're going to miss out. So what he's saying is you need to put away with this now. You can't afford to hold on to this for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. Yeah, put away with it. Do it away now. Don't think about it. Don't hold on to it. Just get rid of it. Put away the bitterness. Here's what I know about bitterness. Not because I've seen it in you, because I have to deal with this stuff too. As a young man, as an old man, as a father, as a husband. Bitterness is not something you do. But it's really, it's more something. It's more of a state. It's more of, I like to call it a filter, right? Bitterness is not just something, well, hey, I'm going to choose to be bitter today. That sounds good. No, you don't even know sometimes that you're bitter when you're bitter because it's just a filter, right? You were hurt, and so now all of life goes through this filter of hurt, of pain, of bitterness. So sometimes you don't even know, right? Because the Bible in Hebrews 12:15, it talks about a root of bitterness. Have you ever tried to deal with a stubborn plant in your yard? And the roots are going 40 feet out, and they're intertwining, right? That's what the Bible says bitterness is like. It's like a root that will then affect everything that you are. Sometimes you don't even know where the roots are. Hebrews 12:15 says to watch over one another to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace. And then it says make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness that sprouts within them, which will only cause trouble and poison for the hearts of many. Listen, our unforgiveness and our bitterness will affect our kids, will affect our friends, will affect our relationships that are in our life. It's not just something that's affected in your own heart. So we want to get to the good stuff here too. But a bitter heart. Okay, how do you know? Well, a couple since you asked. Right? A bitter heart justifies treating bad or harsh. right? Well, if I was hurt by a female in a past relationship, well, hey, all females are bad now. Well, no, not necessarily, right? So, but you justify yourself treating them wrongly. A bitter heart feels entitled, right? Oh, the world owes me something. A bitter heart feels sorry for itself, right? The martyr complex, where everything is just bad because life just is terrible. Oh, I just have a short end of the stick on life. Just the hand I was dealt. Right? It's a martyr complex. A bitter heart likes to rehearse the past. Right? Everything goes back to the past, goes back to that moment of pain. And here's the last thing about a bitter heart that I'm going to talk about today. Is a bitter heart resists the ones that they need the most. It resists the ones that they need the most. So how do we deal with it? Now here's what I know. Is God wants to deal with the bitterness. God wants to deal with unforgiveness. It's a process. It's not just like, hey, we're going to pray a prayer and like, all right, let's go get our cars washed now. No. But here's what I know is that God wants to begin the process. And that one of the things that God told us with talking about this issue of soul health is we've got to deal with unforgiveness that exists in our own lives. In Exodus 15, a great picture of what God wants to do today, where he turned the bitter waters of Marah, and Marah means bitterness. And it says that the people were drinking the water, but it was bitter. And it's not just talking about a drink, but it's really talking about the water that flows through your life. And so we see where God, through Moses, he took this water and he made it pure again. And I believe God wants to do that in your heart today. God wants to take any of the bitter flow. God wants to take any of the hurt, any of the stuff that you've been drinking of that is not of God. And God wants to cleanse that stuff today. How many of you want God to do a cleansing work in your heart today? Amen? Man, I want it so bad. So he wants to do that because my title is Forgiven People Forgive People. So in Colossians 3, starting with verse 13, it says this. It says, tolerate the weakness. I think we read this last week. I mean, sometimes it feels like a tolerate, doesn't it? Tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way, just as you've been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of maturity. Listen, when I understand what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, when I understand that he took my pain, that he took my sin, that he took my future sin, and he said, I am dying on the cross for this now, and I realize Justin's going to screw up, and I realize Justin's going to mess up again, but I'm still going to die for his sins. When I get a revelation of what Jesus did for me, it makes it a whole lot easier to walk in forgiveness with others. Because no one owes me anything. I've been given so much by Jesus, and you have been given so much by Jesus, that the least that we can do is walk and release that same forgiveness to others. You know, in Isaiah 53, hey, Steve, can I get you to come play? Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. Okay, the scripture, that he was pierced for our transgressions. When you start talking about that, listen, Jesus was bruised from things that are deep on the inside. That Jesus died on the cross for the things that we can see, but Jesus died on the cross and was wounded, right? That's the same language. He was wounded for the things that people can't even see, right? He bled from the inside out. He was wounded for the things that are so deep in our hearts today. But he wants to come and he wants to heal us from the inside out. So forgiveness, in a nutshell, again, this probably isn't your first time hearing it, but forgiveness isn't saying, oh yeah, what you did was okay, but forgiveness is releasing people into the hand of God. And it's not releasing people into God's hand and then praying that the judgment comes down. Let God deal with that if God wants to do that. But it's releasing them into the hands of God and saying, God, I'm not carrying it anymore. God, vengeance is yours. It's not mine. You know, a great picture of this is Joseph in Genesis 15, who was betrayed by his brothers, was beaten. Remember the story? Sold. I mean, what a bunch of knucklehead brothers. And when they came to him, because he was in charge of the food, because there was a famine in the land, and he said this. He said, pretty much in Genesis 50, verse 19, he said, I am not God. I'm not God. It's not my responsibility to judge you. That's God's thing. It's between you and him. And then he says this, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God has meant it for good. Listen, some of the stuff that for years and years that has gone on in our hearts, the enemy has meant it for evil, but God wants to turn it to his good today. So forgiveness, right? What's the process? Well, it's a process. I'm not saying this morning that everything's happening overnight. If you were wronged, if you were hurt, if you were abused, right? There's some big offenses. There's some little offenses. But it all will ruin your relationship with the Lord. Okay? And I realize that there's a process. But the process for us this morning is called repentance. Not like repenting for what someone did to you. That's like wacky. No, but what is repentance? Repentance means this. It means there's a change of mind and a change of heart. To repent means I was thinking this way and now I'm thinking this way. But you can't just change this, but there is a change of mind and heart and a change of direction. Right? Meaning I'm going down this path of unforgiveness. I'm not going to do it anymore. We're going to repent. We're going to change direction. It doesn't mean that you need to like go to your offender and say, hey, I'm sorry that you hurt me. No. No. That's not what it means. But it means that you're going to choose to go a different direction in your heart. So the process of repentance, think about it. It starts with conviction. What is conviction? Knowing you need to change. Like, oh man, I know I got to deal with this. Again, some of you might be in that process with bitterness, with unforgiveness. I know I can't hold on to this anymore. That could be the conviction of the Holy Spirit today. The second step is there's conviction, but then there's that repentance, as I talked about, right? There's that actual turning where you're like, hey, I'm not going to run from this any longer. I'm going to turn. Right? The change of heart, the change of mind. How many of you know that those are difficult? But unfortunately, those are probably the two, could I say, easiest? Because after you get convicted, after you repent, there has to be, we know what the end goal is. The end goal is this. The end goal is restoration, right? We like to talk about restoration, right? In Acts 3:19, it says this. It says, repent, turn back to God. Your sins are going to be removed, that times of refreshing may come. Come on, we want restoration. We want times of refreshing. But in order to get to restoration, how many of you know I skipped a step? Yeah, I did. And I kind of wish we could just end service now and be like, hey, there's three steps, not four. Because after repentance, there has to be the word reconciliation. And reconciliation means this. It means you have to do something about it. You have to make things right. Now, reconciliation can mean a lot of different things. Reconciliation might mean you have to deal with it with God. Reconciliation to some might mean you need to go to people. You might need to make a phone call. You might need, reconciliation might mean you need to go get some biblical counseling. And you need to get a new thought process. Listen, if you came from a past divorce or something, I'm not saying if you're remarried, I'm not saying you need to go back and, you know, marry that person again. That gets wacky, right? We're not talking about that. But here's what I'm talking about. Reconciliation means get things right. So I don't know what that looks like, but I know that it has to be part of the process. Some of you might need to verbally release something just between you and the Lord. That might be part of your reconciliation. Would you stand up with me this morning? Come on, how many of you this is hitting home to? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Probably all of us. I don't want to miss what God wants to do because I felt like God said today could be life-changing for a lot of you. So Steve, can we just sing that chorus? So while Steve's singing this chorus, you could sing with him, but I want you to think about those things. I want you to think about, is there things in your heart that God's saying, hey, today is the day that you can release this to me. Today is the day that you don't have to play the punisher no longer. Today is the day that you could begin the process of repentance to get onto the road of restoration. Amen? So let's sing this, Steve.
We give you the heart, yes, praise. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. Jesus, our Savior, you are worthy of it all. We give you the
So Father, right now, Father, we just come to you. This is, we're playing as we're giving you praise. Father, we come to you. And God, I'm grateful this morning that you know every heart. Father, you know every wrong that's been done to us. You know every wrong that we've done to others. Father, you know where there's bitterness in our hearts. Father, you know where there's hurt. Father, and I don't know what the process looks like to everyone. But Father, we repent. We do what the word says. We repent. We choose to turn around in our thinking, to turn around in our mindset, and to react a different way. Father, I ask that you would do what you need to do in people's hearts today. I believe even right now that God is wanting to begin a process in you. And I want to encourage you again. I don't know if I'm gonna or not. Listen, you don't want to be a bitter old person that can't enjoy their grandkids, that can't enjoy their life, that can't enjoy what God wants to do because of unresolved conflict. So this morning, in God's presence, I'm going to trust that God's doing what he wants to do in your hearts. Steve, can we sing this again? If you, as Steve's singing, I wasn't going to do this, but if you want prayer this morning, if you just want someone to agree with you, not to be your counselor and just like, tell me you're all, no. If you want someone to agree with you in the spirit this morning, to begin this process of healing, I want to pray over you, and I want some of our leaders that are here just to pray a blessing over you. So as we're singing, if you want prayer this morning, would you just come as we sing, and I want to lay hands on you because I believe God wants to do something. So let's sing this and then we'll dismiss in a minute.
I lift my hands because I'm for